just a minute if the Lord will help me. I really want the Holy Ghost to touch me to preach this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, if you found your place, say amen. Verse 13. These all died in the faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things plainly, that they seek a country. Here it is. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. In the book of Luke, one verse of scripture, Jesus said in Luke 9 and 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to jump to verse 61 now. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. The Lord will help me. I want to preach this morning on torn between two worlds. Torn between two worlds. It's a restless congregation I have this morning. And I can feel it's not a prayerful congregation. And the restlessness that's here is due to a lack of prayer and a whole lot of folly. Amen. The Lord will help me. I want to preach on torn between two worlds. Stretch your hand this way one more time. Ask the Lord to help us. Father, hour. Oh, God. I need you, oh, God. Touch me and help me. The inscription here given to us, and I'm going to do a little different this morning before I really get torn into preaching. Our problem is easily pointed out. But knowing the cause of our problem oftentimes is hard for us to do. Being able to depict and tell of road signs is easy. But to tell of the generating of the road sign, oftentimes it leaves us handicapped with an understanding that we do not know why. But it's not until we have learned and understood plainly and clearly the purpose of the warfare that's inside of us is the choosing of eternities. It is in the process of our life that we choose by thought life or by word or by deed or by action of what choosing of life we choose to live. For the Word of God plainly states and tells us that a man is holding by the cords of his own iniquity, and his own words shall be a snare unto him. Amen. I know I'm going to have a hard time preaching to you today, but I feel something in my soul that we have a generation that is torn in the middle between two worlds. They say in one hand that they love God, while in another hand, if they could sell God, they would let Him go even to the lowest bidder just for the sake of a moment of pleasure. It's sad to me to see at the exhausting inabilities that men go through that to find pleasure and to find joy and to find peace and happiness, they'll sell peace for chaos, and they'll sell hope for hopelessness. They'll sell peace on the market of pleasure and lose every bit of their sanity. I say it's a crazy pool. It's a terrible pool when men will sell their souls for pleasure. You see, pleasure is so enticing. It never comes out in curlers. It never comes out in a bathrobe. It never comes out with ugly face. Pleasure walks out as though it was just born for your pleasure. But can I tell you that stolen bread may be sweet, but after you eat it, it is the rottenness of the bones. It decays your life. It destroys your hope. You ain't hearing me in this house. We are in a generation that's torn in the two worlds. One minute they say that I love God, but in the other process, they turn themselves away from God. One moment they declare that I am saved and born again and on my way to heaven, but in the same process, hands like this man, get his hands on the plow, but his eyes are behind him. Can you see the foolishness of sin? It makes you stupefied that what you're doing is no wrong. I want to tell you, sin, it starts in the incubator of the mind. It travels to soul, and then out of the body. You can't sin inside yourself and not get help from God expecting to stay there. You can't play with the world. Van Sabner told one time, help me while I preach. Hey, amen. I would to God I had help. Amen. Van Sabner told one time in that book called Playing Marbles with Diamonds. He told of the illustration of how a man had walked up and these boys were pitching clay marbles. And while they were pitching clay marbles, they just won sparkling marbles that some boy had. And he said he looked around and he watched at the unknowing of what they were doing. I feel like preaching. Hear me. I don't care who you are. Listen to me today. I'm here to tell you in this house, we've got diamonds in our hands. We're out pitching them at clay. And we're losing the battle of our mind. We're losing the battle of our soul. We're losing because we're torn in the world of pleasure. We, as foolish as those that were that day, we take the preciousness of God and we play marbles with diamonds. Things that God has instilled into our lives, hell has never been offered to give to us. Come on here now. I'm going to lose half of you right here. It was God in His goodness who took out of our hand the marbles of clay and put inside of our hands the marbles of diamonds. Hallelujah. For see, sin made me a pauper. And sin made me a vagabond. Sin made me a reproach. But sin made me envious and hateful. But oh, can I tell you about my diamonds? It gave me hope, peace, joy, and love. And why would I cast them against another world within the world that He's given me? I'm better off than if I had 10,000 worlds out there. You see, pleasure, it deceives, it lies. It paints pictures. And it tells us pleasure has no payment. But pleasure does have payment. Whether pleasure tells you the truth or not, though slippery may be its tongue, and the ability of it to speak, it lies as stupefying men while pulling them between the world and telling them you can plow and look at the same time. Listen to me. I'm afraid that we foolishly listen to the world's advice. And they tell us that you can't help but sin every day. And in that process, we adopt the fact and believe that it is religiously right that we are torn between two worlds. But can I tell you, in that pool of the world, can I tell you there is a problem that I want to paint to you? And that is, it's a loss of emotion. The reason we feel dead and empty and wore out and broke down is because we find ourselves, what's going on here now? We're trying to hold the hand of God while hold the world at the same time. Oh, look at me now. You say, preacher, I'm not. I don't wear makeup and jewelry. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your lust. I'm talking about your cravings. I'm talking about your envying. What do you want? When Jesus looked at this man and bidded him to follow, he pulled to a world that was holding him. And Jesus said, no man that cometh unto me, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But I will tell you this. I am a troubled preacher in this house. Look around this building. Pivot that neck. I mean, look around. How does the church go from 150 last Sunday to what the attendance is today? It's a poor world. We're pulled. We're torn. We're stripped. The internet, like a disease, has plagued the minds of men. Are you hearing me in this house? I'm not calling names, but it was told to me that if I ever felt to use it, and I shall today. And I'm not calling names because she's sitting here. But she will understand what I'm about to say. A couple of years ago, a lady in this congregation that's here this morning approached me and my wife and told that how that she had visited her family. And upon the visiting of her family, she said she began to surf and shop for things on the net that she needed. And she said it was just something crazy. I'm not going into the depth of it. She said I got off it. And she said it wasn't no problem at all. But she said it was in the middle of the night, if my memory serves me correctly. And she got up and walked through the house. Or later that afternoon, that night, and said the computer was off. And while it was off, it said something said, get on it! Get on it! I want to tell you tonight, there is a tug of war for your soul. That was the God I could preach. You must fight to win. You must decide on which world you want to live in. You must decide on which world you want to live in. You see, the pull of these worlds are so harsh. Just as you said in this building this morning, there is a heaven pulling and hell is pulling just as hard. But the deciding factor lies with you. Oh, I ain't getting help. I can walk right through this building and come and put my soul on the line and walk right down this side and tell you there's half of you that ain't spent 30 minutes in the past 48 hours of prayer. How do I win the pull of the world? How do I get over it? You see, prayer blinds the eyes of man to the pleasure of sin. It lets him know that the pleasure is there, but it blinds him to the want of it. Prayer not only blinds the eyes, but it guards the soul. It keeps man at a checkpoint while his soul is trying to be pulled from beneath. Hallelujah for prayer. I said hallelujah for prayer. Prayer's not climbing. You don't always feel like it, but thank God there's a resting place at the enemy called higher at the top of the climb. I want you to know you can't win that world and the fall of it without prayer. Sin is so deceitful. It blinds us to the present, numbs us to the future, while it only makes us relive the pull of yesterday. The tragedy with a lot of folks in this building is you have too much memory of the wrong thing. I shall say that again because it's needed. The problem with much of you in this building is you have too much memory of the wrong thing. You say, preacher, how do you know that? I want to tell you that there is a place you can get with God where you can lose the old world memory. Listen to me. I don't want to call no babies down, but I will today. Listen to me in this house. I'm telling you, when I felt the Holy Ghost at 5 o'clock this morning get a hold of my heart, stirred my soul and my spirit, I felt I was in a battle zone. I felt like I was coming into a war zone. And when I walked into this building and I saw the laxity of the mind, I saw the numbness of emotions, I saw men just sitting here, I said, dear God, this is where it's at. It's in the fall of it. I want to ask you a question, mama. How do you to keep your girl out of the backseat of an automobile when you can't keep up in the house of God's joy? You see, the misery of our life is often borne by the memory of failure that we relive constantly and over in our life. Men are tormented mostly by the past, frightened by the future, and no concern for the present. For you see, the present is very little thought of. For you see, presents like coins to a slot machine. It lets you play the game with pleasure, but it takes all of your money, and then you realize, I've wasted it. I've lost everything. And then we live in a guilt-stricken mind, and in that mind, oh, I know you don't know where I'm going, but stay here. But in that mind, it now becomes a battle zone. It becomes a tormenting zone. How do I come out of that zone, preacher? It's easy to come out of. And the only way you can come out of it is by surrendering to God. Come on here, holiness people. Look around. around this house. You say surrender? Yeah, throw your mirror away. Let's get the mirror inside here. How much do I pray? How much do I love God? How much do I talk of victory? How much do I say that my God liveth? Well, come on here now. When there's a lack of faith, there's always a pull for another world. Men are seldomly turned loose. Men seldom turn loose of a world they crave. Jesus told this man, and I must hurry. Jesus told this man, and I'm preaching what I feel here. When he told him to follow him, he said, let me go to my house. I want to ask you a question. You know what's in that house? What's in the house that you live in? Huh? What's in the house you live in? I'm going to tell you what's in the house you live in. It's memories made. It becomes a factory of memory. And in that memory world, we relive so much of what I have done and what I've possessed and what I have gotten. And in that process, we find ourselves torn and pulled. Come on here. I want to tell you something in this house. You can say what you want to. But I'm here to tell you in the name of Jesus, until you can move out of your house and move into His, you'll always be torn between two worlds. You'll never escape it. You'll never get away from it. I don't care what has been. And I don't care what the devil says will be. The choice of this world will damn your soul into hell. But the choice of the world to come is a part in me and give me strength and grace to go on. Notice now that the beginning of our failures all time never start with the present. It's always with the torment of what has been. No lustful man, woman, boy or girl starts with the present day lust. They always reach back and say, this has been my problem. Preacher, I know. And I don't know how to say this, but he was caught in homosexuality. I preached a revival there in 1990. And God opened up so much sin in that place. I'll never forget it. But when the cover was taken off and the place was made known for what it was, these were his words. He made this statement. He said, I have battled it since I was 15 years old. He's married, two children, grown children. Let me give you the picture of his world today. He's broke down in health. One of his partners died of AIDS. His wife left him after the breakup of the church. His daughter's had an abortion. His son has been in and out of prison. I'm talking about choosing the wrong world. So my darkest day and my emptiest time in God's house is still the bright sunshine of His favor in spite of the bright lights of the world. For you see, for you to choose that world is to walk your children to the auction block of pleasure and say, I will forfeit them that I may have. You ain't helping me, but I feel like preaching anyhow. To give up the Holy Ghost and a tongue-talking experience for the trade of a world that you wish you could live in and that you long to live in. I want you to know there'll be midnight with no tongues. There'll be midnight with no lights. And there will be no phone calls of encouragement. The only telephone will ring is a guilty conscience and a scream in your ears. You should have stayed with God and the church. I ain't getting no help here. It's a shame and a reproach that you gotta be preached to stay in love with God. After what all He's done, how can I walk out? After Nico Shadabahaya, after every healing, after every providing, why should I leave? We leave because we're tired of the pull. The constant struggle between two worlds soon gets monotonous and it makes men weary and ill. The frustration of grace in your life is often born because of the yielding to the wrong world. Jesus told this man, when he spoke to him and said to him, come. He said, let me first go to my house. There's something I want to deal with on my house. The house that you accumulated. You accumulated for yourself. To dispose of your own pleasure and what you like. The hope and the dreams of your future is what you built in your house. Jesus, I will. But let me first. I want you to know something. He must be first or none at all. I don't know how to preach this, but preach it. What if it's God's will for you to stay like you are? What if it's God's will, young lady, for you to never marry? I hear you talking, but you're only talking that out of pull of another world. But so what? I reckon this is my life. No, you just let me know. You got your hands on the plow, but your heart's back yonder. But when you get to the place where you realize His world is far better than yours, you'll give up anything you got to stay in His. All the fighting that we do within, it's because of all the looking without. We see other lives and we see other hopes and we see other dreams. And we see them mastered and conquered as though it's bliss and joy. But it's not till you get behind the door that you hear the woe of men and women who cry in agony of being torn between two worlds. I'm going to close in just a minute. But when Jesus dealt with the inbredness, it almost looked as though this man was willing at any cost. But one clutch gave him a rebuke. You didn't hear me, did you? When Jesus bade this man come, he was ready to go. He didn't deny that I want to. He didn't deny that I will gladly go with you. He said, but first. When he said that, he put himself in the place of the will of God. Y'all see how bored they're looking out here? See how empty looking they're looking? Do you know why? Because, see, prayer helps me make my decision. Oh, so strangely as it may be, the message this morning and the Sunday school class that I came in upon linked so close together between the Judas in you and the longing of God to get the Judas out of you. What will I sell heaven for? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? What will I sell a ministry for? What will I sell a good, healthy home for? What will I sell a peaceful environment for? You ain't helping me. I'm going to preach because I feel the preacher on me. If you're in this building and you can say amen to any of this, I want you to say it loudly. Has anybody ever prayed through till the Holy Ghost came down to help you?
Amen.
Has anybody ever felt defeated, broke, busted, and disgusted until the Holy Ghost came down and gave you hope and reason to stand?
Amen.
Has anybody ever felt like you was on the edge of a failure that you didn't know how to get away from and you didn't know which way to turn and what to do? But He took you into a path that the vulture's eye has not seen.
Amen!
I said amen! Say, God Almighty, if I was preaching in a charismatic church, it'd have everybody in that building saying amen. But we're preaching to a church that's torn between the world of pleasure and the world of God's will. So why should I change dreams for realities? Why should I change these diamonds that He has given me for marbles of clay and for pleasures that decay? Why should I take one midnight prayer that will cause me to weep till morning comes and trade it for something that will be nothing no more than just a little bit of rain and back to death, regardless of the weather and regardless of the pain and regardless of the wind? The diamond remains! You can't wash it out. You can't do away with it. The weather, in spite of it, cannot diminish the value of the diamond. So when Jesus looked at this man and He said, come go with me, He was in one hand offering Him diamonds while taking clay, marbles out of His hand in the other world. You ain't going to help me? Here we go. While standing there, in one brief second, Jesus opened up a handful of diamonds while this man held a handful of marbles of clay. And He looked and He gave man that inevitable choice. Choose which one. And in foolish pride, stare at me, and in foolish pride, you know what He did? He closed His and said, I'll be back to get yours in a minute. But you see, it's the tragedy of the foolish virgins when they chose their empty vessels over full ones. I didn't get this out of no book. The only thing I'm using out of that playing marbles with diamonds is just a preface of it. But the rest of it God has dipped in my spirit. I've not even read the book past. I ain't read chapter 1. But while the foolish virgins occupied time, they wasted it. And they chose their clay marbles over his diamond. Come here. Matthew chapter 22 deals with the fact that there was a man that who had the invitations given out. Make yourself ready. The marriage is soon to take place. But read on down just a little further. You'll find there was a man that avoided the message and avoided the opportunity of change. And he thought he could go to heaven just like he was. And in that turn, you know what he did? He done just like some of you. We're going to make an altar here in a minute. And some of you is going to stay at your pew. Some of you ain't going to come when the master calls. And some of you is going to go home and sit down right in front of that computer. And surf that net. Go to your little website page. Find out who's on. And find what's being said. And see if anybody sent you any messages. And the message you need, you are ignoring it. You know what they did? When he turned his face away, Brother Jeff, from the Lord, and said, I'll go to the marriage just like I am. That meant he thought he could take sin into heaven. Pleasure of self-will into heaven. He thought he could take his dreams and turn them into God's favor. He thought he could trade what God had and convince God to take his. But when the master came in and viewed the wedding party, he said, friend, how comest thou in here without the wedding garment? And when he looked at him, the Bible said he was speechless. He couldn't say anything. What are you going to do when the Lord looks at you on that dreadful day of judgment and say, I gave you a world of diamonds, but you chose clay marbles over my riches? You will be speechless on that day. The long hair, long sleeves, long dress. You will be speechless. You'll be able to say nothing to the shame and the reproach that sin has given you by being torn between two worlds. Come to the piano. Prayer heals the past, strengthens the present, and gives hope for the future. Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I'd be of all men most miserable. I'm not done. I'm just heading that way. While Jesus rebuked the man for wanting to go home, and you know, he didn't really want to go home and do great business. He just wanted to go home and say bye. Did you get that? He didn't want to go home and bury the dead. He didn't want to go home and pack his belongings. He just wanted to go home and say, see y'all later. There's some of you in this building sitting on the edge of pleasure. And you're making a choice on whether to tell it bye and go with him. Last week, not for the Holy Ghost, what I'm saying. I was sitting listening to another pastor talk that was visiting the meeting. He was talking to the guitar player there at that church. He told how that when he was a young boy, he said our piano player was leaving our church. And he said we didn't have nobody to play the piano. He said, so the pastor said, I can't remember the guy's name, called a young boy up. And he told him, he said, we're going to pray for you. This is on a Sunday night. said, come Wednesday night. God knows we need a piano player. We're going to pray for you that God will anoint you to play. He said they laid hands on that boy, prayed for him. Said they went all the way through Wednesday night service. No piano player at all. Said just before they closed, the pastor said, he said, I forgot something I need to do. He said, so-and-so, come play us a tune on the piano. He said, the old boy got up out of his pew, young boy, walked up there, never played before in his life, sat down and started playing. He said, God taught him how to play. You ain't listening to me. He said, time had rocked on. He said, the boy got good. And this was his statement. He said, it was one night after church in fun and pleasure. He made this statement. He said, the boy said, I'm playing pretty good. He said, there's so much of country music, just like gospel. He said, I could play it too. He said, the minute he started off on a country tune, he said, it sounded like a first grader up there trying to play the piano. It was gone. Trading diamonds for clay marbles. There's more to the story of your daddy not playing country music because of being saved. There's things, Brother Billy, that Ollie Dice has told me that his family will never be able to pull out of my body. I'll die and go to heaven with it in me. But he had that wreck before he ever got saved. And he said he told the Lord, he said, if you'll heal my hand, he said, I promise I'll never play for that world ever again. He took clay marbles and traded them for diamonds. And what you play with in your pastime will tell what you'll choose in your eternity. You listen to me. And I close with this. But he said, these all died in the faith, having not. I want you to stare at me. Are you loving God enough that you could see a promise? And if that promise never comes to you, you're willing to die right without the promise. Some of you ain't listening. I need to say it again. Hear me! If God made a promise to your household, are you willing to live for God if you don't never live long enough to see the promise? Oh, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises, have seen them afar off. What has God showed you that's way down the road? That if you'll stay true to me, you'll stay committed to me, I'll save this and I'll take care of that and I'll work this out and I'll fix this over here. I'm losing you. And they embraced them and confessed that they were but strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And this is where I want to hurry. For they say these things plainly. They have no reservations. You understand what he meant when he said plainly? They say it as though it's already happening. They're not saying it as though, well, he said it. I hope he does one day. They're saying we done been convinced. This way is the best way. I'm not turning no other way. Oh, I wish I had a church that was awake. I wish I had a crowd that was not in the pool that they're in. I really do. I really do. But can I tell you, in this building, this is the beauty of the whole entire Scripture. He said, for if they have been mindful, somewhere or another, somebody forgot where they came from. And you know the reason you're having battles like you're having? You can't get over your past. And it's giving you trouble. But the more that I get lost in His world, the dimmer my past becomes. Maybe this will help you. We'll get you another preacher tonight. But I'm going to be honest with you. If you backslide over these clay marbles, you're a fool. You're a fool. To trade the riches of God for the pleasure of this world. Stand with me. I anticipated a better service than what we did. But I got one thing to tell you. I got a whole lot of angels that's taking up a lot of space where y'all ain't. And they're happy with everything I've said. Because if you leave and go out, you ever heard anybody say, nobody get offended, but you ever heard anybody say, well, I'm just destined to fall, because you're destined in your mind to lose. I'm destined to make it. Hey, I deem that the world in which I live is not worth dying in. For these light afflictions, I could just about see old Paul writing, and he said, these light afflictions. I get looking at, man, the man just, how did he write light affliction? When, are you listening to me? When he said, been in peril of sword, false brethren, peril of the sea, been beat, been this, been cast into prison, been left alone and outcast. And he wrote down and said, but these light afflictions. Somebody just bypass us and don't talk to us. We're ready to quit church and say, what have they got against us? He's cast into prison and said, this is but a light thing. He said, all of this that I'm facing and all of this that I'm going through, he said, is but a light thing when it comes in view of eternity. When it comes in view of God. He said, a night in prison, a day in prison, 6 months in prison,
cast out before the crowd and made a mockery of? You ever been laughed at? Yes, Paul. I've been laughed at, he said. It's but a light affliction. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm not torn between staying here. He said, if there's any care, he said, it's for your sake. He said, but for me, I'd rather go out to be with the Lord.
I want to say this because I feel like I need to. Some of your problem is you love this world too much. And that's the reason your battle is so great. Somebody told me one time, said, preacher, I've just got human needs. Oh yeah, you may have human needs, but I guarantee you your human wants outweigh your human needs. I'd quit, my friend. I'd give up and call it quits right after I get done preaching if I didn't know it was a part of old Noah's world that he couldn't get me over. To say, that's behind you, boy, go on. I'd quit. Staring this little fat face of mine. Huh? Oh, there's enough in the back memory of your lives to make the best of you drop your head in shame. Oh, there's things I don't want nobody. If you come asking me, I'm man enough to tell you it ain't none of your business. What I used to be ain't none of your business. Where I've been, what I said, ain't none of your business. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, got me over that world. So when the enemy comes and he starts throwing up them old painted clay marbles and he starts making me think, he tries to get me to believe these are just as good as the rest. But I'm going to tell you something. You may shine up brass and take the gold shields out of the house of God, but that brass won't give the sound that the gold shield will give. That gold shield can hang on that wall for months and weeks and years and look as beautiful as it can be. But that old brass get up there, it ain't long before it starts tarnishing and fading. What you got? Huh? I said, what do you got? Is it tarnishing and fading? Or is it reaching over there and dusting it off saying, I've got something we're fighting for. I got something worth saying. I'll send them a letter at home and tell them I've gone to be with Jesus. Hey, if you don't know where I'm at, I'll send you something by Pony Express and let you know Jesus called and I answered and I went home. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'd rather choose his world over my world. Closing of this preaching, I challenge. I want you to listen to me, young lady. Has the devil ever, last Christmas, done for you what God done? So why would I even juggle his marbles? Has the devil ever done what Lord done for you last Sunday? How you been since last Sunday? Huh? So when the pressure gets hot, why should I even think about chunking clay marbles? Come here. Come back out here. Shut up, Nicole. Shut up, Indiana.
You don't know.
Holy Ghost said, I've given you diamonds. Don't trade them. I feel the Holy Ghost. Go home and say what you want to, Brother Timmy and Sister Donna. Say the old preacher missed it. But I'm telling you, leave them clay marbles in the NC. You hear me? And cradle the diamonds he's given you. He said, for if they'd have been mindful of that country in which they came out, no doubt they'd have turned back. Somebody walked up and said, hey, you remember where you came from? I came from Calvary. So I remembered you when you lived over there in an apartment on Sin Alley. I don't know how, I can't remember that. All I remember is I started living at Calvary. Hallelujah. I'm going to reach past all the haunts and the fears. And I'm going to trust God and serve Him. In spite of the pressure, in spite of the lies, in spite of what the devil tries to throw at me, it tells me, say, hey, why don't you just get rid of them marbles? Why don't you just take these clay ones? They're pretty, they're just as good now when the troubles are off and I need help. They don't carry the value that these diamonds carry. Hey! Somebody mind God. Hey! Ain't a shot, ain't a pill, ain't a drug out there worth trading my diamonds for. I felt something just set on me. What you gonna do with your marbles? Huh? You gonna live in that poor world? Huh? You gonna live in the pressure for that world? I'm not a fool. You boys are looking good, but you're in trouble and you know it. You think what you just came through
Joe and Lisa were Canaan. That's a small thing of what the devil's fixing to do if that boy don't get on an altar and stay with God. That little thing that frightens your soul to death is going to be just a small speck on the deep scale of sin. I'm telling you, you boys walk away from here and make light of the Holy Ghost and pat each other on the back and say, oh, you can make it, go on. You'll blaspheme the Holy Ghost and go to hell forever.
You better not touch what the Holy Ghost is saying. Behold, this day I've come to let you search me. I've come to let you see the trouble, the problems that you're in, and the struggle that's in your mind, the pressure that you're under. Which do you deem greater, my favor or the pleasure? For yea, I say unto thee, I call thee this day to search me, to see if I'm not rich towards you, saith the Lord. Could somebody reach out there and grab a hold of a riches? Say, Lord, I deem that to be greater. I deem that. I don't have to fear being next. Did you hear me? I don't have to fear being tormented. I don't have to be afraid. For he that keepeth Israel will not slumber nor sleep. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be tormented. I don't always have to live in a cross pull. I didn't know I was going to say this. You hear me? See, Roy Angel wrote it.